Jehovah Roah, the Lord's my shepherd. Our next name of God, the next characteristic of God that we are looking at in this series. And I don't know about you, but whenever I hear that phrase, the Lord's my shepherd, I immediately think about Psalm 23. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want, and so it goes on. Shepherding, one of the oldest occupations that we can read about right back at the beginning of Genesis. And yet shepherding was one of those occupations that wasn't necessarily popular with everyone. Of course, there was the smell associated with a shepherd. If we look through history, we can see that quite often the shepherds were considered to be outcasts. Right back in Genesis, when we have Abel the shepherd and Cain the farmer, we know that when Abel and Cain brought their produce and their sacrifice to God, God showed favor on Abel and his sacrifice, but not on Cain and his. And of course, we know the consequences. Abel lost his life through his brother Cain. But as we look through the Bible, we'll know there's many examples of shepherds. It starts off with Abraham, Jacob, the 12 sons of Jacob. Of course, we know about the shepherds who visited Jesus, who were told on that evening of Christ's birth, of his arrival. As the angel began to display and tell them about Jesus' birth, there was that whole chorus that we remember at Christmas. The prophet Amos was a shepherd. And of course, there was David, the shepherd who went on to be appointed king over Israel, the king over God's people. If you are remotely interested, there are 43 verses that relate to shepherds in the Bible, but we're not looking at them all this morning. There are 500 references to the word sheep that we could also look at today, but we won't. But we are going to look at three different aspects that we can see coming through from Jehovah Roah, the Lord's my shepherd. And the first one is God as the shepherd. We had this whole chapter read to us by Brenda. Thank you very much, Brenda. Ezekiel 34, the Lord will be Israel's shepherd. And I don't know about you, when you were listening to that chapter or you were following it through in your Bibles, how many of you kind of contrasted it? The difference between the shepherd who wasn't looking after his sheep versus that passage in Luke 15, where we know there was a shepherd who cared so much, he made sure he went out and looked for that sheep who was lost. In the passage from Ezekiel 34, we read about the shepherd who doesn't strengthen the weak or heal the sick or bind up the injured, who haven't brought back the stray or searched for the lost, who've ruled his sheep harshly and brutally, and they were scattered. Contrasted with that passage from Luke 15, where the shepherd was so concerned for his one lost sheep, he made sure the 99 were safe before he went out to go and look for that lost one. And that sense of caring for each and every one of his sheep is very much at the heart of the meaning of Jehovah Roah in the Hebrew, the shepherd who cares for each and every one of his sheep. God, the shepherd. When we were talking earlier about the definition of a shepherd, we were talking about that aspect of caring for them, making sure that they were shorn, making sure they had something to eat, leading them, tending them, making sure that they were being looked after. Very much those ideas that we can read about in Psalm 23. And Jehovah Roah is derived from the Hebrew Jehovah Roah, the God who reveals himself unceasingly as a shepherd. And if we pick our Bibles up, we will see that again and again and again reflected through the Bible. The God who reveals himself unceasingly as a shepherd caring for his sheep. Genesis 48, verse 15, talks about how Jacob, when he was blessing Joseph, said, "May the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walk faithfully, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day," giving tribute to the God who he knew as his own shepherd. He goes on in the next chapter, in chapter 49, with reference to Joseph. "But his bow remains steady and his arm stays strong because of the hand of the mighty one of Jacob, because of the shepherd, the rock of Israel." It was in the shepherd he had security. He knew that Joseph had security. And Psalm 80, "Hear us, shepherd of Israel, you who led Joseph like a flock." And of course, we know that if we look at the encounter and the life of Joseph, that he was the one that eventually saw Israel's people being brought into Egypt, who had his hand on Joseph through all his trials and tribulations. And then in Ezekiel 34 and verse 23, "I will place over them one shepherd, my shepherd David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd." Maybe the person who we associate most with being a shepherd as we look through our Bible. That shepherd boy who went out in front of the Philistine army, not wearing the armor of Saul as he went to face the giant Goliath, but using the tools of his trade as a shepherd boy, standing up and facing that giant. That person who the Israelite army was so afraid of. And he stood, and as we know, he used the same skills that he would have used to fight off the wild animals to destroy the giant of the Philistines. God as shepherd. Again and again we have examples of what it means to find God as our shepherd, Jehovah Roah, the God who reveals himself unceasingly as a shepherd. But if we look at a second definition, I don't know about you, but sometimes you can look in a definition in a dictionary and you can find out one definition and then it carries on with other definitions, other meanings of a particular word. The Oxford Dictionary defines a shepherd as someone who tends as a shepherd. Its second definition is someone who guides or directs them in a particular direction. And the second sense we get about the whole meaning of Jehovah Roah is found in the Septuagint, the earliest Greek translation from the Hebrew. It gives a second sense to the meaning, not just God as a shepherd, but God who shepherds me. That sense of intimacy, that sense of companionship, that sense of friendship, that sense of knowing us personally, of working and walking alongside us. The Lord shepherds me. I don't know about how relevant this particular illustration will be, but Ian and I and the children have always lived in kind of rural or semi-rural locations where we've been surrounded by farms and countryside. And at the springtime, we've often had opportunities to go onto a farm as they've opened up their farm and seen the lambing taking place, or watching and going into those barns where you've seen the mothers with their newborn lambs. I don't know if you've ever been in one of those barn settings, or you've walked past a field of sheep with their newborn lambs and you've been overwhelmed by two things. One, usually if you're in a barn, the smell, and secondly, by the noise, the cacophony of noise, as the lambs are bleating and the sheep are baaing and they're all doing it at the same time. There's the lambs bleating out, "Where are you, mummy? I've lost you." And the mother sheep going, "I'm here, just come and find me. And if you've ever been in that situation and that setting, and you maybe watch a particular lamb, you will have noticed it make its way amidst the cacophony of noise that there is around it and go and find its mother. And the mother, as the lamb gets to it, puts its nose down, smells its little lamb, and allows it to have its milk. I've watched that scene again and again, and I've always been surprised how that lamb ever finds its mother in this midst of bodies and swirling mass and noise. Because it knows its mother's voice. That lamb recognizes who its mother is. And in that sense of the Lord who shepherds us, I wonder, do we know the voice of our shepherd, of our Heavenly Father, of the one who wants to walk alongside us in companionship, who wants to shepherd us in that sense of intimacy? We have a life where we are beset by voices and distractions and things pulling on our time. Perhaps it's our workplace or our home life or our setting that we find ourselves in day by day, and everything is clamoring, a bit like that noise in the barn. Everything is clamoring around us. Where and how do we ever hear the voice of our Lord? But if we know the voice of our God, if we know the voice of our shepherd, we will know that in the midst of all of that, he is still speaking to us, but it's down to us to listen to his voice. Because the Lord who shepherds us wants to be with us in the high times and the low times, in the busy times and in the times when maybe we are relaxing. He doesn't want to be separated away from us, only for us to come to him when it suits us, or to allow us to give him some time when it suits. But he wants to be shepherding us at all times. That's the intimacy that we get from Jehovah Roah, from the Septuagint and the Greek translation of this word, the Lord who shepherds me. What can we do to enable us to hear that voice in the midst of all else that maybe we are beset by? Do we need to change something in our lives? Are we even willing to change something so that we can hear God's voice? Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11 tells us that he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. A really good shepherd isn't the one that we find here at the beginning of Ezekiel chapter 34. He isn't someone who takes his sheep out into a field and leaves them there to look after themselves. He's not the kind of shepherd who goes out and just occasionally will go and check them. Because my experience of sheep is that they're quite stupid. We have had walks, we have had holidays, we have had encounters with sheep over our time where we have had to stop our car in the Yorkshire Dales and help the farmer and the shepherd herd his sheep that are running down the middle of the road to enable the sheep to go back to the field. Possibly something to do with the fact that my dad was in the car and he loves to kind of get involved, and he was using some of his farming skills as he was yelling at them to go back in the direction that the shepherd was wanting. We've come across sheep that have had their heads stuck in the rungs of a sheep trough and it couldn't get out. Its horns had got stuck and it was resting and getting distressed, and we've had to go and rescue that sheep because there was no shepherd around. We've had to go and tell a farmer on another occasion that one of his sheep was lying on its back. If ever you see a sheep lying on its back, it's very bad news for the sheep. It could pretty much die fairly instantly. It needs help. We've seen and rescued a sheep that's had its head stuck in a metal bucket. All was fine as the sheep was stood still. But of course, what happens is the sheep doesn't stand still, does it? It moves. And then the metal bucket bounces around and it's echoing all around its ears and the sheep panics. And we've had to release the bucket from its head. Maybe that's why I think sheep aren't the cleverest of animals. But a really good shepherd is one of those people, one of those people who cares for his flock. Not the ones that have ruled them harshly, not ones who allowed them to be scattered, not one who hasn't bound up the injured or healed the sick, but a really good shepherd is a shepherd who knows his sheep individually, who spent time with his sheep. He knows which ones are going to get into mischief or get into trouble. The shepherd who knows his sheep will know which one needs to be encouraged to eat and which ones it can put at the front of its flock as he leads them elsewhere. And the shepherd who knows and cares for his sheep will be trusted by his sheep and will follow his leading. It will be the sheep who will listen to the voice of the shepherd. As many of you know, I try, if I possibly can, to get a walk around Raffles Park and hopefully also the Lodge Farm Park, one just up the road, if I can, before I come into the office on a morning. And I love to walk through there just because it's a bit of me time with God, just a bit out in the bit of greenery as I come into the office. And I have two observations that I share with you as I walk through the park, particularly as I walk through this week. There were the kind of people walking with their dogs that was a kind of like an invisible bond between them, an invisible thread, if you like. Whether the dog was walking to heel, chasing a ball, disappearing off, looking underneath the shrubs, or bouncing up to say hello to another dog, that dog was always looking back wherever its owner was. It was like an invisible bond between them. The dog would run off but always check where his owner was. And then there were the dogs that I could hear the owners of before I saw the owners. Rufus, don't even think about lying in there. Fergus, if you go in that water, there'll be trouble. Come back here. And so it goes on. Not one, that kind of dog and owner relationship where perhaps they know and there's that kind of invisible bond, but that kind of, I do begin to wonder sometimes if there is a selective hearing aspect to a dog, as there is sometimes to some humans, seemingly. But I'm not saying anybody in particular. But, you know, there's that sense of, do they recognise their owner's voice? I do find it, I have to say, you can tell I'm not a dog owner. I'm sorry for all you dog owners, I'm about to upset. But the dog that insists on running between my legs as I'm trying to walk is very frustrating. And I have to say, I stopped cycling a long time ago because I can't be doing with dogs that bounce up at me as I'm cycling along because I'm so afraid I'll fall off. The dog and the owner, the sheep and the shepherd, us and God, all of us have our own relationships. Each of us here will have our own relationship with God, which will be different to the relationship that someone else will have. That's neither right nor wrong, that's just how it is. But if that relationship with God means that we've learned how to identify his voice, that we allow him into all of our life and not compartmentalize him, then we are allowing God to be our shepherd, to shepherd us, to be intimate with us and allow him into our life. But sometimes we are the kind of people, the kind of sheep, so to speak, who only want to follow the sheep, the shepherd, when we choose, who only want to go down the pathways that we want to go, even though that's not what God is saying to us. Who may be here thinking, I'm not going to do this because it doesn't suit me. I don't see why I should be asked to do X or Y or give this or that. God, as our shepherd, the Lord who shepherds us, wants that intimate relationship. He wants to reveal himself unceasingly as a shepherd. But so often, we as his sheep, as his individual followers, so often choose to not let him get close. Verse 11, it says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. And in verse 16, I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. You get that sense of God's care for his flock. And yet us, as his flock, so often don't want to be sought after, don't want to follow, don't want to be cared for. And then, as we continue through our Bibles, we get that lovely chapter that we find in John chapter 10. The Good Shepherd and his sheep is how it's entitled. And in verse 11, that very well-known description of Jesus. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. What a contrast to that passage that we saw at the beginning of Ezekiel 34. The shepherd who weren't bothered about his sheep that may be injured or have gone scattered or be just hurting and left and lost somewhere. The shepherd who really wanted more from their sheep, the best that they can get from their sheep with very little care and compassion that he was offering. He wanted the warmest fleece, the best of the animals, but no care and concern for his flock. What a contrast to John chapter 10. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Picking up again that sense in Luke 15. The shepherd who takes the sheep into his fold. Who cares for them and protects them and provides for them. Whether the sheep belonged to a shepherd or whether the shepherd was appointed as a hired hand, each one of those sheep that was in the care of that shepherd would have been cared for as if they were their own. And we are and have the opportunity to be God's own sheep, to be his own followers, because he cares for us. Whether we know him or we don't, whatever our relationship with him is, he wants to know us and he wants to know us more. He wants to shepherd us and to be intimate and alongside us. So much so that he was prepared to lay down his sheep, his life for the sheep. Even the disciple who on the eve of Jesus' crucifixion denied knowing Jesus, who turned away and said no, was still reinstated before Jesus went back to heaven. We can read about that in John 21, as Peter was reinstated and told to look after the lamb and the sheep. Do you feel cared for? Do you feel that you know that relationship with God who wants to be intimate and to be in every part of your life? Do you know his voice? It's lovely sometimes being out in the entrance area and seeing some of our little tiny babies that have come in, that have grown up. And you see them coming in and they're recognizing the various people around and they'll run up to them and hold their arms up for a cuddle. Or that newborn baby who you've begun to get to know and you begin to talk to them and they smile at you and there's that lovely sense, isn't there, of joy, of recognition, that sense of being known, of that relationship being built. Or maybe in a different context, we're journeying alongside someone who is really struggling. Perhaps they've got health issues or they're finding life tough. Perhaps life is bowing them down because of the circumstances they found themselves in, or the cruel illness of dementia, or they're coming round after a serious operation and you've been sat by their bed, or you've been journeying alongside them and seemingly nothing is coming back until that moment when they hold out a hand. They call you by name. They smile at you in recognition. That sense of joy, of realizing perhaps that a corner has been turned, that something momentous has happened, that in that moment they've recognized and they've understood. Whether it's from the youngest to the oldest, God loves each and every one of his creation. And as we journey with one another, and as God journeys with us and we journey with God, we have that knowledge and that understanding, and we are taught that God wants to be his shepherding to his people, to be with us. And that sense of joy that maybe you get as that newborn baby smiles at you, or that face from someone who's been going through that difficult time lights up, will be nothing in comparison to how God will respond. When those of us who have turned away, or those of us who have come to him for the first time, or those of us who finally say, okay, God, I will do what you're calling me to do. I will follow your path and not my own. God, a shepherd. The Lord who shepherds me. Jesus as the shepherd. All are telling us how important we are to God. How important is God to you today? Have you blocked him out because of the noise of everything else and the demands on your time around? Are you willing today to come to him for the first time and say, I want to know you as my shepherd? Maybe today is that moment when you stop fighting him and you say, I give you my all. I give you my time or my money or my commitment, or I give you my life, and I want you to be in every part of it. I am the good shepherd, said Jesus. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The sacrifice for him was his death on the cross. What's our response to him, so that in this moment, in the days and the weeks and the years to come, we will begin to recognize God's voice, to know God's love for us ourselves, and to recognize in the good times and those that aren't quite so good, in the times when we are obedient and in the times when he's waiting for us to come back to him, to listen to his voice. Will we remember that he cares and he loves us and he wants us to know that for ourselves today? Let's pray. In the verse of our last song, it says, like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children, and in his arms he carries us all day long. Father God, I pray for each one of us today. Whether we need carrying, whether we are following, whether we have come yet to know you, or we've turned away, and now and today is a time when we need to turn back. May we know the reality today of Jehovah Rohi, the Lord as my shepherd. The shepherd who wants to shepherd us as intimately as a good shepherd cares for his sheep. Knowing that we are indeed the one that caused Jesus' death on the cross because of his love for each and every one of us. As we leave this place after singing our next song, help us, Lord, to be reminded of those images. The images of you caring for your sheep, no matter what. And help us to be willing to be more open to listening to your voice. We ask this in your name. Amen. And our last song reminds us of that cost for Jesus upon the cross as we sing, praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, his wonderful love proclaim.